brought to you by Penguin.
The List of Suspicious Things by Jenny Godfrey. Read by Joanne Froggatt, Gemma Whelan, Asif Khan, Mark Noble, and Simon Harvey. Author's note. There is a whole generation of Northerners whose childhoods were haunted by the murderer known as the Yorkshire Ripper. One of my most vivid early memories is of the day that Peter Sutcliffe was captured, when it became clear my dad knew him. I can still feel the shock of how close he got to my family. This book is in tribute to the victims, survivors, and those now adult children, of whom I am one. The List of Suspicious Things is my love letter to God's own country. The Wish. Chapter 1. Miv. It would be easy to say that it all started with the murders, but actually, it began when Margaret Thatcher became Prime Minister. A woman in charge of the country just isn't right. They're not made for it, my Auntie Jean said on the day the election results were announced. As if the last lot weren't bad enough, she's the beginning of the end for Yorkshire, and I'll tell you why and all. She was bustling about our small kitchen, vigorously re-wiping surfaces I had already wiped. I was sat at the table, in my brown and orange school uniform, shelling peas into a colander on the chipped yellow formica top, popping fresh ones into my mouth whenever she wasn't looking. I wanted to point out that, like Margaret Thatcher, Auntie Jean was also a woman. But Auntie Jean hated being interrupted mid-flow, and it was just the two of us, meaning there was no escape from her opinions, of which there were many. So many, she began to list them. Number one, she said, her wiry grey curls bobbing along as she shook her head. You take one look at that face and you can see what power does to a woman. It hardens them. You can just tell she's no heart, can't you? She took a wooden spoon off the draining board and wagged it at me for emphasis. I mumbled. For a moment, I considered just nodding occasionally while secretly reading the book I had open, a corner tucked under the colander to keep it flat. But though Auntie Jean's hearing was less than sharp, her other senses were razor-like, and she would have smelled my inattention like a hunting dog. Number two, she's already taken milk away from poor children's mouths and jobs from the hands of hard-working men. I knew at least part of this was true. The rhyme, Thatcher, Thatcher, Milk Snatcher, was still heard in our school, years after she had taken away the little bottles of disgusting lukewarm milk we used to have to drink daily there. Three, these bloody murders every 5 minutes, that's what Yorkshire's famous for now, dead girls. She put the wooden spoon away and opened the door of our ancient fridge with its rusted corners, which creaked in protest. Immediately tutting about the lack of substance inside it, she pulled out the battered spiral-bound notebook she carried everywhere with her, removed the equally battered pencil, shoved it in the top, and licked the nub. Butter, milk, cheese. I could see her mouthing the words as she wrote them down, neatly listing them in the copper plate handwriting she was so proud of. Auntie Jean liked to tidy up the messiness of life, putting everything into order. I sometimes wondered if that was what she was trying to do to our family. She finished her list, closed the fridge, and looked at me. Oh, and not just dead girls. Those types of women. I was bursting to ask about what types of women she meant, and whether they were the same type as Margaret Thatcher. I was always intrigued about the women Auntie Jean disapproved of. There were many. But I knew from experience that no comment was expected or desired. So I chose to say nothing and simply settled back into my chair, while Auntie Jean settled back into her opinions. I didn't need to ask which murder she was talking about, though. Everyone in Yorkshire knew. We had our very own bogeyman. One with a hammer.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?